Welcome back to another episode and another year of Sportscastle. I'm Chris.
And I'm Jared.
This week in Newcastle and Hunter Sport, the Roos on the hunt for a new superstar.
Vargas sees red as season slides.
The summer bash to light up midweek nights.
Waratah to become centre of the sevens world.
All that and more in local sport. All right, mate. We might start off. It's been a little while. Happy New Year, first of all, to everyone, mate. How was the break? Good with all the kids, mate? You would have spent $1 million, you and Erica, and of course Santa would have broken the bank too.
Yeah, Santa did break the bank, but nah, it was enjoyable, mate, and refreshed, ready to start again for 2019.
Yeah, on to bigger and better things, mate. Lots of rugby opportunities for yourself. Based on the current condition of me from this morning's training session, I don't think I'll be kicking too many sporting goals, but that's all right. I might stick to just the microphone, mate.
Special teams.
Yeah, maybe. Mate, punt might go and become a punter in the NFL. That's all the rage at the moment. Speaking of oval balls, mate, we might start with rugby union and the only person from Lake Macquarie to make the Sports Council Team of the Year has gone.
Yeah, it's mate. He's packed up ship and moved up to Yamba.
Is there any truth in the rumour that he's on a multi-year, multi-million-dollar contract with the Yamba Buccaneers?
Oh, it could be. I think he might be heading a little bit further north from what I've heard, but in a bit of office banter. But
Queensland Reds.
Yeah, it'll be a big hole to fill out there in the back row / second row department.
Might be a flying winger for the PNG Hunters.
Yeah, well.
There's lots of roads that need to be built up there.
It certainly is, but yeah, the big man's off up the coast to explore his...
Have to get a new show favourite out at Lake Macquarie, mate. Might have to get Marty Loisa to come back so he can be our favourite. He's only about 64.
Any Roos guys that want to put their hand up to replace the male model, Chris Hunt?
Yeah, well, it used to be Shannon Turton, but, you know, he's out at Wongee now, so...
Yes.
There might be some interesting recruits there, mate. On other fronts, though, we might leave Chris alone for now. But we'll move on to Nelson Bay. Have announced their new co-coaches.
Yeah, they've gone back to the future, mate. Adam Edwards, who coached them the year before, so 2017. He just played last year in 2018, but Mr. David Sharp's commitments, work and family's taken over. So Benny Whaler, the first grade prop, and Adam Edwards of co-coaching and playing.
I hope it's not like, you know, the Hamilton commitments last. You know, sack the coach after a 100-point win when the bloke's work commitment's cleared up.
Yeah, well, you never know. But, no, they had a very good year last year, so hopefully they can continue to build on what Sharpie did up there last year, mate. And for more reports, most of their guys are coming back to have another trundle up there, so there's something in the air up there.
Yeah, I think Warringah's the only one they're expecting to leave, isn't he? So, obviously a good season last year, so they'll be looking to build and push into that sort of top one or two spots and... I'm sure there'll be a lot of clubs aiming for that. I know Southern Beach, they've got some new coaching structure as well.
Yeah, Mr. Ben Kincaid, former university first grade coach, has gone out there, mate, to replace the god out there, VAR. So he's playing again.
Yeah, mate. So at the end of the day, I think it means there's probably five or six clubs with new coaching, either staff or structures. So there'll be plenty. I mean, Wanderers have changed over, Uni's changed over, Beaches,
Maitland.
Nelson Bay, Maitland.
Yeah, Singleton stayed the same.
Hamilton stayed the same.
Lake Macquarie.
Well, Lake Macquarie's had a bit of a change too in off-field, Matt Chidgey coming along, which is part of that structure as well. So, mate, it'd be good to see. And mate, there's a lot of coaching and managers out there at Lake Macquarie, actually, like with everyone that's involved. So it'll be interesting to see how that all pans out. Hopefully it'll see a much improved and hopefully we've got all teams as competitive as the top five were last year. And, I mean, most of the teams on their day were competitive, but it'd be good to see those bottom four sides just mix it with them consistently.
Yeah, that's right, mate. Better for the competition, especially with the nine teams, but wait and see, mate.
Yeah, that's it, mate. And hopefully we can push back one day in the near future to a 10-team comp at least. That would be lovely. Mate, we'll move on from the oval ball stuff and we'll leave that as into February and March as it approaches. Might have a look at the Foxtel Youth League, which is getting to the pointy end, mate.
Yeah, and the boys, the Mighty Jets, thumped the current leaders last week.
They did thump the current leaders, mate. A 5-1 win, a couple of names. Well, you'd know all the names. You know all the names of the goal scorers, mate. One being Costa Petrados with a double, but Mitch Austin with a double and Nick Cowburn with a single as well. Nick Cowburn's going all right down there in the youth league. But 5-1 win against the current leaders, Western Sydney. Now, I understand that it's essentially because they've got the two pools. It's just the team on top that just goes straight to the finals. So at the moment, the Jets sit 6 points adrift. They play Sydney this Saturday down at Lambert Park at Leichhardt, 4:30 in the afternoon for anyone that wants to make the trip down to Sydney. However, with only a few rounds to go, I think the Jets have got maybe two games to go off the top of my head, and a couple of sides have only got one. They're going to need something magical to climb to the top of the ladder, considering the Wanderers have still got another game. Mariners play Canberra this week and have the same for and against as us. So essentially, if the Mariners win this week, the Jets need to win both their games and hope that the Mariners lose next week and the Wanderers lose next week and Sydney lose next week because of for and against. So look, they're sitting fourth at the moment. They can still win the pool. So they'll take on Sydney this weekend, as I said. I'm going to tip the Jets to have a 3-1 win and keep their mathematical final hope alive.
Yeah, I think they're going to keep the winning roll going, mate. I think it'll be, I'll go 4-2.
Yeah, it'd be good to see them go back-to-back after breaking that two-game losing streak last week. In the other game, as I did touch on, the Mariners, who are sitting second, will play against Canberra. Now, Canberra, to give you a bit of a perspective on the ladder, Wanderers have won 5 of 7 games. Mariners have won, I think, 4 of 7, and Sydney have won 3 of 7. We've won 3 of 6. Canberra haven't won a game. There hasn't been a draw either, surprisingly. Right. Canberra haven't won a game and have a negative 12 for and against, so I'll be very surprised to see them beat the Mariners. I think the Mariners will do a job 3-0 on Canberra United, which will make our task quite difficult, mate, to make the Youth League finals, but we will watch fingers with bated crossed. Breath.
Fingers crossed.
We'll move on, mate, to the Westfield W League. And it was not a good night for our girls last Friday night down at Cogra. They went down 3-1, pretty much putting paid to any hopes they would have of playing finals football. They're a very slim mathematical chance now, but they sit 8th on the ladder now, which, they're really going to struggle to come back from there after that 3-1 loss. In saying that, I don't know if you caught the replay of the goal from Libby Copus Brown. That was an absolute screamer to put us back in the game at 2-1. But unfortunately, Sydney did score a consolation bonus at in the fifth minute of stoppage time.
Yeah, I did. I read a couple of the articles on the game, and they were like, "Oh, this wonder goal from Libby Copus Brown." I was like, "Oh, I've got to go and watch this." And I watched the highlights, and they look like they were sitting back a bit in defence and sort of let Sydney play, but yeah, her goal was an absolute highlight of the game, and she cracked it from outside the box for her. I'm pretty sure it was her first strike in the W League, mate.
Was her first W League goal, mate. So, yeah, as I said, she might have had a strike before, but they don't tend to keep a track of those. And then, this weekend, the Jets girls are at home. Now, to bump a Saturday night, you're going to need a couple of screens because you've got the Youth League at 4:30, the women's league at 5:45, and then the men's play Saturday night. So there'll be a bit of overlap. As I said, they're sitting 8th out of 9 teams. They're only 5 points adrift of Sydney, but they've got a pretty tough run home. They take on Perth, who are sitting 2nd. We get a 2-2 draw against Perth the other week, but the issue is we have no Katie Stengel, no Taylor Smith, and as of this afternoon, Emily Van Egmond's been ruled out as well. So 3 of our biggest name players all out of action, taking on the team sitting 2nd, who's only lost 1 game all season. Probably got our work cut out for us even at home, mate, at number 2 sports ground there on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, we certainly it's looking that way, mate. But hopefully they can hold firm at the home of rugby at number 2. And, yeah, I'm going to stick with Perth, who's the away team this week, mate. And I think they're going to win 3-1.
I'm going to go with Perth to win, mate. I'm going to go 2-1, but I think there'll be a nail-biting finish to the game, and the Jets will be pouring everything forward at goal late in the game, knowing full well that a loss here will certainly cruel their hopes. But that is the W League, mate. Hasn't been the best seasons with injuries. They've got four games to go, the girls. So, like I said, a win here would put them in the mix, but, you know, they've been pushing the proverbial uphill to bring it home from here, I would think.
Yes, I agree, mate.
Move on to the A-League, mate. And this week, we've got a new segment sponsor for the A-League, Primax Sports Cards and Collectibles. So for anyone that's into any of their sports trading cards, I think they're dealing in cricket, netball, soccer, and rugby league at this stage. But if there's anything of interest, jump on. Their Facebook page has been up for a little bit now. They're only a new business, but yeah, nice of them to get on board with us. A bit of support to help us going along and let them know that we've sent you over, and I'm sure they'll make sure you're looked after.
Looking forward to it, mate. The kids will be trading those cards, mate. Got any Fortnite cards?
Yeah, mate. There's Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh! I saw on something I was looking at the other day. I don't think they delve into them too much at the moment, but they may do, so... No, it's all the rage, so I'm sure there'll be Fortnite cards in no time. There's Fortnite everything else. But on to the A-League, mate, and it's been a bit of a dry run while we've been away, mate.
Yeah, it has.
1 point from three games.
I read a little stat the other day. I think the Jets are the only team in the history of the A-League never to win a game between Christmas and New Year in all the seasons.
Yeah, there you go.
You would have thought they would have won one game, but...
You would have thought so in, what, 11 years or something like that, so... But unfortunately not, and yeah, it hasn't been a good time for us, and it was all capped last Sunday, I'm losing track of my days here, when they went down to Melbourne City. They travelled down to Amy Park. They scored the opener in a very, very easy goal for Roy O'Donovan after a mistake from City goalkeeper, and then, yes, the shit hit the fan, mate.
It did, mate. It did. I know it was a cracking start, a big mistake. But I watched the replay of that first goal a few times. Did Golakovic, he didn't touch the ball.
Yeah, he did, with his head.
Oh, that's
right. My first thought was the same thing. Yeah. I thought he might have used his hand, but no. Then we obviously saw Ronnie get a yellow card in the 7th minute. He was then very fortunate not too long after, I think in about the 20th minute, he actually was appealing for a handball. And moved his put his hand upwards as the ball passed him, and his arm hit the ball then. So he could have been done for a handball at that point. However, that was in their box, not ours. Down the other end, sure enough, there is a corner comes in, a deflection comes. Ronnie, you see him try to pull up and out of the way. The ball hits his arm. And as just after the ball's hit his arm, the referee's whistle goes. We see the referee pull a card out of his pocket. The defensive line now from the FFA is that he was already being remonstrative and abusive with the referee over a prolonged period. I didn't really notice anything else in the game. I certainly noticed one of the Melbourne City players go at the referee not long before that, and he wasn't carded for that. And look, you and I both refereed a lot. It's not acceptable to be abusing a match official. So, look, Ronnie in the end deserved his second yellow card, irrespective of what he thought of the decision. You can't carry on like that. My issue is, was the yellow card really for that, or is that just the defensive cover afterwards? Because the timing of it all and the way it played out certainly looks like that. And then the next step, obviously, is should it have been a penalty?
Yeah, well, I was adamant in our discussion on Sunday night it was, but, yeah, I've watched it back the last couple of days.
Had the rules written to you?
Had the rules, yeah, reading the rules and ball to hand to ball, deliberate. Yeah, it's looking back now, I don't think it was a penalty.
Yeah.
So
I have no qualms with the end red card at the end, because I just have an issue with how he did it. But again, it doesn't matter what you think. You can't react that way, irrespective of, you know, if the referee looks at you funny and just pulls out a red card, you can't react like that. It doesn't matter. So that's a, you know, that's a non-consequence. But the game probably plays it differently. We had the better of the second half.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we might have to play with 10 men, but if they don't have that penalty, then, you know, I know if you're, you know, if your auntie had a set, she'd be your uncle, but... It's a big wormhole to go down, but I really think, and it's not the first time that Kurt Ames has had a shocker. Mate, all I can say as a rugby league referee is at least someone's taking the pressure off the NRL referees.
Yeah, that's right.
But, yeah, certainly very interesting to see whether he – I haven't noticed. Do you know if he was appointed to any games this week?
Well, I haven't paid particular attention to that referee, mate.
I will have a look now.
I'm in the bunker.
We're up to round 13, I think. So, interestingly enough, he is in charge of the game this weekend between Perth and Western Sydney over at the renamed HBF Park. But whether or not, I'm just having a look at the midweek games this week. And we, of course, do have one tonight, which is the Mariners versus City.
Woo!
Bumper clash, that one.
Big boys.
So, yeah, so I'm just having a look. And Sean Evans has done a couple, but Kurt Eames, unless he's got tonight's game, has not been appointed from what I can see. So, very interesting, that one. Maybe he got a slap on the wrist and stood down for a week, but they won't publicise that. But, mate, that is probably not of much real consequence to the Jets now. I think there needs to be a lot of clarification around the use of the VAR. There's a few handballs. There's another one where Topol Stanley was grabbed and reefed by the jersey when he probably had a chance to contest the ball with the goalkeeper. Not to say, again, that he would have converted, but, again, you know, we look at it through a blue and red eye. Some more perspective might balance it out. But at the end of the day, yeah, the refereeing has been fairly poor in this season so far, coming up to the halfway point.
Yeah, it has. And, yeah, I know I watched Ernie's press conference back after the game, and he was very positive and proud of his boys, but he was very adamant that they hadn't got any rub of the green. You can't recall a penalty that we've had, and he goes, I don't expect us to be getting them in any hurry. So, you know, he's very frustrated, but as he said, we've just got to move on and control, you know, what we do, and that's probably the best way to be.
Control what we can control. At the end of the day, you can't do much else. Too much whinging, and it's only going to get worse, I would have thought. But that's how it stands. Speaking of guys that are doing well for the Jets, we'll have a look at the Sportscastle Player of the Year, and a few boys starting to break away from the pack, mate. Dan Georgievski, the leader on 32 points, followed by the great man Nikolai Topol Stanley back on 28, Dimi on 27. The skipper, Nigel Bugard, is level in fourth with Ben Kanarovski on 20, Stevie Ugi on 17, The Hoff on 15, and Glenn Moss on 13, with the rest of the players that have polled votes on single digits.
The Moss.
Yeah, well,
is he back this week?
I haven't heard anything yet, mate. There hasn't been any confirmation. Obviously, I don't think they named the squad as of yet. It probably would have been released this afternoon, usually on a Thursday.
See, the great man, young Joey Champness, could be a possibility of a bench role, mate.
Yeah, I think that'll be a Johnny Katrumba-style bench role, where he'll be on the bench for 4 weeks before he might actually get a run. So, yeah, it doesn't look like, from what I'm looking at here, I can't see that they've named the squad as of yet. The last thing out of the Newcastle Jets, it looks like, is confirming that Emily Van Egmond. Oh, there's a new tweet. So let's have a look here, mate, while we're going through. We'll have a quick run through the tipping while we're having a look at that. And the big man, Bill Pappas, is in the lead on 30 points currently with the game to come tonight. He's equal with Xavier, but in front on margin. The King of Grinder equal first / second. You, mate, you've snuck up to third.
Last night's doubleheader was a...
Yeah, bonus. Mate, you're flying. Josh Ferreira, last round, tipped 5 out of 5. So he snuck up into fourth on 28, and I am, after missing putting my tips in, back on 26, and then the rest of the pack is well behind. So, yeah, mate, you only cut the games off the top, mate.
Yeah, I'm trying to get back where I was earlier.
King of Grinder will be excited. You're coming up behind him.
Yeah, I don't know what... I don't know why I had a lapse and let them get in front, but I'm playing catch-up now, mate, so...
Yeah, I've heard that's how you like it, coming from behind.
Yeah, especially the King, mate. The King of Grinder, the King of Wongee, he loves it.
King of Wongee.
Yeah, holiday home in Wongee, mate.
King of Wangy-Wangy, hey?
Yeah. Maybe he could get out of Neville Thompson Oval, mate.
Mate, it's just down the road from him, mate. Maybe that's where his holiday home really is, just in the clubhouse there. yeah, it doesn't look like the squad has been named yet, but a big shout-out to our leader of our Player of the Year, Dan Georgievski, too. He plays his 100th A-League game this weekend, and also the first time he's come up against his old club. And he's obviously decided to celebrate all that by getting on board the page, mate. I noticed Dan Georgievski liked the page this week, so that was awesome. Great to have him on board alongside some of our other brilliant alumni in the likes of Jason Sanger, so... Getting all the big names.
We've got the Hoff on board, mate.
We've got the two leaders of our two awards, mate. Nathan Price and Daniel Georgievski.
I think Uncle Pricey was the first one to join up, mate.
Yeah, I don't know. He wasn't actually. He was well into the piece. I had some words about that. Don't you worry. But let's move on to this weekend's fixtures, mate, and our tips. I'm going to assume you're tipping City tonight.
Yep.
I am. By 1,000.
Oh,
to make it about 320 days since the Mariners won a game.
Yeah, no, I went the Mariners.
You went the Mariners?
No, I didn't. I can't even remember what I went.
Come on, mate. Get organised. You should know your tips.
I've gone City.
You should know your tips by now.
I've got mine in.
Yeah, that's all right. I've got mine down. I've got them ready for the show. I've got the priorities, mate.
It's a City to win.
Yep, City to win. Mate, they've got a short turnaround. They're back up on Friday night.
Yeah, I think that could be a reschedule, isn't it? Surely they're not playing tonight and then tomorrow night. That's what it says. But, yeah, I picked Melbourne City in that game, but 3-1.
In which game?
The one that they play in Brisbane in.
Yeah, so as I understand it, yep. So they play tonight and then tomorrow night.
Jeez, well, I've tipped them to win.
Oh, actually, I do correct that. It's not tonight. That's why the referee hasn't made a point. That's next Wednesday. That would make more sense, not tonight. I misread the draw.
I think they'll get 2 wins out of 2.
Yeah, me too, mate. I was going to say, playing back-to-back nights would have been. So that'll be next Wednesday the 16th. I've actually got it written here. You can see in my notes it says Wednesday the 16th. I just can't read my own handwriting. So this weekend's around Friday the 11th. City take on the Roar at Amy Park. I see the Roar getting done here 4-2. Seems to be a pretty common scoreline. You've gone 3-1, so 2-goal margin for both of us. On Saturday, the 12th, mate, now you're not allowed to message me and tell me what happened in the Jets game either, because as you know, I'll be in the president's box at the cricket, just living the, yeah, I'm working actually.
It'll be my son's birthday, so
you'll be on replay as well?
Yeah.
Can't believe Deacon expects you to hang around, mate.
Yeah.
I thought he'd want to watch the Hoff.
Yeah.
So it starts off with Wellington hosting the Mariners at Westpac Stadium. I'll take Wellington to win this one at 3-0.
Yeah, I'm going Wellington, the very impressive Wellington, mate. 4-1.
They're very hot and cold, though. They get on a run and then they go back and they get on a run. And
This run's going all right.
They're much, like much improved.
5 or 7 undefeated at the moment.
Undefeated. I was going to say, it's not wins in a row, mate. Otherwise, they'd be top of the ladder.
Yeah, no, they've had a bit of a blip there about 2 months ago, probably when they had 15 games over Christmas.
They had 15 games over Christmas.
Big spell.
Yeah, seems like the Jets' current, I think we worked out the other day, what have they got? They play
8 in 26 days.
Yeah, 8 in 20-something days. So that's allowing that they do progress to the second Asian Champions League game. I'm not going to count that one yet. On Saturday night, the free-to-air game on Channel 10 is the Melbourne Victory hosting Newcastle at Amy Park, the second game in 2 days at Amy Park. So it'll be interesting to see how the surface holds up down there. Has been known to break up a little bit, so hopefully they've got that sorted. Mate, who do you like here? Can the Jets get it done without Ronnie?
Yes, they can, mate.
Will they, though?
I think the Melbourne are going to be smarting after their loss last night. Adelaide, the very impressive Adelaide, but...
Jets, yeah, everyone's very impressive.
Yeah, well, they were 32 shots they had last night, Adelaide.
That's about as many as we normally have, just none of them on target.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, I think the Jets are going to get this done, mate, 2-1, and I think they're going to gain a mountain of confidence.
Right, I will agree to disagree with you because I am going to go a draw. A 3-3 draw.
Jeez, Italiano's going to have his work cut out.
Well, maybe he won't. Maybe he won't do anything. we really need to start turning things around. We're sitting, I know we're only sitting in seventh, but the three teams behind us are the Mariners, who are in absolute shambles. They have lost their last 10 games or something ridiculous, 9 games. Brisbane, who haven't won any of their last 2 or 3, I think. And then the Wanderers, who have got 1 point from their last 5 games. So we're either going to join that pack or break away from it. The problem is it's 7 points at the moment. With Wellington and Adelaide both playing well, if we lose and they pick up points this weekend, it could very quickly become 10 points, which even at the midpoint of the season is a long way to come back. I remember last year when we were sitting sort of, 10 or 12 points behind Sydney coming into that back third of the season, and we kind of went, they got the Premier's plate, let's just aim for second. Now we're going to be aiming to be best of the rest if we don't start chalking some wins.
Yeah, definitely need to start a winning run, mate. Hopefully it starts this week.
Fingers crossed, mate. In the other games, mate, this one will be a bumper clash. Two sides coming off big results. We have Sydney, who they will be smarting after their loss to Perth in what was a crucial game in the standings. It gave Perth a 6-point gap at the top of the ladder. And they will host at Cogra Oval, Adelaide United, who are in some pretty reasonable form. They haven't lost in four games, and they're starting to move up the ladder, and a win would put them within 1 point of Sydney.
Yeah, I think this was my toughest game of the weekend, mate, and I'm just going to go now and do my tip, but I'm going to go Adelaide to win 3-2.
I'm going to go Sydney to win, and I am going to say, how much do I think they'll win this one by? They will win 1-0.
Dower,
exactly right. And the final game of the round sees the high-flying Perth taking on the woeful Wanderers. As I said, the Wanderers 1 point from their last five fixtures. Certainly has not been a pretty run for them. In terms of, mate, can you see the Wanderers even challenging the boys from Perth?
I think they'll have a crack, mate, but Perth at home, the momentum they've got, I think 3-1 to Perth.
3-1 to Perth, mate. Just having a look back, I'm trying to find the last time that any of the bottom three teams won. It looks like it was back in about week 6, and it was the Wanderers beating Central Coast Mariners. So it's pretty, you're going back, and even before that, I'm just trying to have a look here, mate, just quickly running through while we go, just having a look through all the results, and I could be incorrect on these, but I'm looking back. Before that, the last time one of the bottom three teams beat anyone that wasn't another bottom three team was the 24th of November, nearly 2 months ago. As it currently stands, in the last five rounds between them, they've picked up 2 points. So thank God they're horrible, because it makes Newcastle look bearable. In saying that, we've only picked up 4 points in that time, so, and three of those were beating the Wanderers about 5 weeks ago down there 2-0, I believe. So, we'd be 7 points because we beat the Mariners as well, but we haven't beat anyone above us for a long time. So let's start that trend this weekend. Again, a big thanks to our segment sponsors, Primac Sports Cards and Collectibles. Jump onto Facebook. We'll be sharing their page probably over the weekend. So give them a like, give them a follow, get involved. I see they're doing some breaks and things, so you get in there and have a chance to get the cards from your favourite cricket or soccer or netball team for a pretty affordable price, rather than having to try and buy a whole box or get a collection yourself. So that's the A-League done and dusted, mate. We might move on to the smaller round ball, the red one, and the Newcastle District Cricket, mate. Been a while between drinks.
Yeah, they had a big break, the boys. Some of the boys have been off cooking and, different things like that. But
Breaking Bad style cooking?
Yeah, possibly.
Who knows of some of the boys?
MasterChef cooking?
it's out there. Everyone knows. Mr. Stewart and Mr. Gawthrop. Stewart from Norths in Maitland, I believe, and Mr. Gawthrop, obviously, of university fame or infamy, one or two.
And,
it's a very, very fine line out of the Sea Dragon, isn't it, whether it's fame or infamy?
Yeah.
If it's infamy, you're on the Scott Logan side. If it's fame, you're on the side that Nathan Hudson tells us he's on.
Yes, but now they're starting their adventure in a few weeks, mate, but I believe he's back in the saddle this week and strapping on the creams, beige, bones or whites or whatever they've got out there.
He's only wearing four pairs of pants, is he?
The uni boys are on top of the ladder, mate, at the Christmas break.
No, they're not, mate.
They're not?
No, Hamwicks are on top of the ladder. You're looking at the 2-day ladder, not the overall ladder. Sort your life out.
I even went to the Facebook, the Instagram page.
Here it is here. Hamwicks on top thanks to their outright win. They're on 39. University second on 35, as are Toronto, with only 0.05 in quotient separating them, so not much at all.
Zuni's on 41 on what I saw on
this is the
Instagram page.
They might. This is the latest update that I have on their website, so it might be updated, mate. I might be wrong. I've potted you.
Yeah, that's why I went there.
Did university get washed? Oh, so they would have got 6 points. So, yeah, this would be prior to that. So, NDCA, Aaron Gray, I'm looking at you, mate. Time to update the website. All right, well, I'll let you run through your ladder then, mate. You got University on top.
Yeah, University's on 41. Merriweather's on 40 after the outright, I believe.
Yep.
Hamwicks are on 40. Wests are on 38. Toronto are on 36. Charlestown, 36. Cardiff, 31. Wallsend, 27. Waratah, 16. Belmont, 15. Stockton, 15. City, 14.
Hey, that wooden spoon is anyone's. There's probably four teams vying it out. Then the other eight can, I mean, even Wallsend at 27, thanks to that win over Toronto. I mean, they're now within, you know, striking distance of Toronto and Charlestown. You know, it's only 9 points. As Merriweather showed, they moved from seventh up into the top four with a outright there. So the right result. There is some concerns that have been raised about the draw, though, the advantage that some teams get by playing some of the lower teams in two-day fixtures that others don't get to. And I really think that everyone should be getting the opportunity to play everyone in the two-day fixtures. I understand in the shorter forms you can't necessarily do it, but there needs to just be 11 rounds of two-day fixtures, and then, you know, that means they've got to play some Saturday, Sunday cricket and things, and so be it at a first-grade level, and definitely at first grade, maybe not so much at second grade, because you need an even playing field for mine.
Yeah, I agree, mate. They should be not home and away, but, yeah, definitely 11 and 6, whether it's 6 and 5.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
No, I mean, you balance it out with the other fixtures and stuff as well, and you know, you can't have a perfect home and away fixture anyway, so... I mean, it's not like people are like, taking gate and things like that. So,
yeah.
I mean, yes, you get the advantage of having a home ground, and then you offset that with the cost. So, it weighs itself out. And I mean, if your first grade's getting six home games, five home games, and your second grade's going to get six, and so forth. So, ground availability can be figured out there. But like I said, it's not much separating those top four sides or top five sides. Sorry, there's only what 5 points between the top five sides. So that's only a first innings win and. Then you got Wallsend and Cardiff sniffing about right behind them. And then, yeah, it looks like even as you said, the battle for those bottom four spots will come right down to the wire now with only 2 points separating the bottom four sides.
Yeah, it's good to see, though. Like you said earlier about the rugby, you just want to see it competitive. And
well, it's good, mate. There's been a few results last round that certainly livened it up, and we'll be watching for a bit more of that. Our man Pierce Robinson leading Waratah to a win was... Quite an achievement, and he's managed to make his way onto the Player of the Year leaderboard, and probably as good a segue as any, mate, to jump into the Player of the Year and have a look. And we can have a look at the couple of battles that reign within it. We'll go through the top 13. Again, the guys are in double figures. So we've got Wallsend skipper Nathan Price on 36 yards and above at the moment. It's going to take something big to catch him. Nathan Hudson from Uni on 23. Daniel Chillingworth from Charlestown, 17. Adrian Chad on 15 from Toronto. Abe Gibson on 15 as well in equal fourth. Joe Price also on 15, mate. It's neck and neck there for the minor placings on 15 and probably marginally trailing in the Alpha Price, I would have thought. There might be an update on that leading into this weekend's game between West and Wallsend. Brad Aldous from West as well on 14. Zach McGuigan's been the big mover. He's picked up 13 points in the last three playing weeks, so he's moved himself up from not having a point to his name to eighth. Andrew Buddy Harriet is in ninth with 12 alongside the Sri Lankan superstar Sash Pusagola at Charlestown. Another bloke who's polled four of the last five rounds before Christmas, so went into Christmas in some good form. Then we move outside, Ben West on 11, Tom O'Neill on 10, and the Mercurial man, Sam Webber. Mate, he might be coming right into his time of year, I reckon, a bit of T20 cricket. Be looking for a move from him, mate. And then, yeah, as we said, we might just find where our men, John O'Toomey, and we'll have a look at the King of Waratah standings. Who do you think's in front at the moment?
I would say Toomey.
Have any other Waratah players apart from them polled points? Yeah, there's four Waratah players have polled points. But yes, you're right, John O'Toomey is in front. He's the only one on two. And we've got Jonty Durheim, Pierce Robinson and Liam Taylor all on one.
Very nice.
So, mate, it's neck and neck for the King of Waratah crown.
Bill can make a comeback in first grade so he can
play. Well, mate, if Bill wins the Summer Sevens this week, he might be their marquee signing for the Summer Bash.
Yeah, signing.
Sign him up. What can he do? He can win A-League tipping comps and he can hit boundaries.
He can win the veteran midweek veteran.
Masters, he could do, yeah, Masters. Mate. They're in the mix. We talked about that just before Christmas, and have an update for that after they finish their last round later this month. So, yeah, and might see if Bill's available for an interview if they win that, mate. Get him on a sport short or just get him involved in the pod for a bit and chat some cricket.
Yeah, he's a big fan of the pod. He listens every week, mate.
He's one of our best fans, the biggest fan we've got, up amongst a few others, mate. Him, Jason Mullins on the rugby front, you know, a few of the other boys, they love it, mate. So it's good to have them all on board.
Have a glass of Nance play at training, mate.
Mick Akers, yeah, mate, that's what you have to go through. You have to listen to 4 episodes of the podcast back to back, and then try and make sense of a Shane Tapper conversation. Yeah. Got more chance to listen to 4 episodes of this back to back.
Yeah.
But yeah, mate, so that's the player of the year. Who's your dark horse to make a charge, mate? Give me someone who's outside of the top 10 who you think can make a charge in there. Obviously mentioned Sam Webber, so don't go stealing that one. Who else you got?
I think Sass.
He's already in the top 10, mate.
Oh, I think he'll move up. I think McGuigan will have a crack. I think Jonty Durham from Waratah, I think he might make a late play, and Waratah might have a good end of year, mate.
I'm going to go for Varanesh Sharma from Cardiff.
Oh, yeah.
He scored quickly when he scored decent runs in the 2-day format, so might be an interesting one in the T20. So I think he's sitting down in about 16th place at the moment, so a couple of good rounds though. And I mean, to give you an idea at the moment, between 28th place and 3rd place is only about 12 points. So he's actually closer than 1st is to 2nd.
Yeah, well, 2nd better hurry up and pull his pants.
Yeah, Nathan Hudson gets the play walls end again, and they're the main times he's polled. So good opportunity for him to get some more runs, mate. Obviously, there'll be plenty of points around on offer because we've got we'll have 15 points for each of the weekend games from each of the judges, plus 15 points from the round of midweek games. So yeah, there'll be thousands of points on offer. There is a chance for some of these boys to chase down the red-headed maestro.
Yeah, I want to see someone. He'll put it out there to the Newcastle Crickers. I want to see someone do something absolutely amazing and get all 30 points in 1 week.
Mate, I'd be happy to see that. You know,
not by default, but just
Exactly. That's exactly right. 200 and a five for in a T20 game. Yeah.
In a day.
Yeah, exactly. Well, mate, I remember I'm reading Kevin Peterson's book at the moment. He scored 150 in less than 2 sessions, so it's doable.
It is.
But yeah, you know, maybe not even get the 30, but just pick up 30 points across, you know, a T20 week and the 2 days. So yeah, put it out there and star, and make sure any of the boys come and say hello. We'll be down at the Summer Bash Games doing some sideline commentary once all the details get finalised with the guys at Bar TV. So really looking forward to that. And come on down, and might even get some side interviews for the pod. And I think that we'll probably be doing pods on the Thursday night from the ground as well. So if any of the players that are playing the Thursday night games, probably at number one, are interested in getting involved in the NDCA segment, we'll bring a spare chair. We'll get one from Trent Barrett.
That'll be good. But hopefully we might get some photos, mate, make our own NDCA playing cards for the Primac.
Yeah, mate.
Collectibles. Get some signatures.
Yeah, mate. Maybe we'll get photos of media liaison man from Charlestown Magpies, Todd Disney, smashing beers.
Yeah, the big man will be down there.
Yeah, exactly, mate. Another one. Might even see if Diz is available, if Charles Center playing on a Thursday. Get him in on the pod, mate. He can have a chat. Big fans of the Diz. He stood as corrected. He's not swooping on pies. He's swooping on beers. So, no, that's good. Moving right along, though, mate, and we might actually have a look at the NCC Summer Bash, mate. Look, we head into that this week coming. It starts, so we've got 2 fixtures every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night for the next 3 weeks. They're split between, there'll be a game every night at number one, and then the remaining fixtures will either be at Passmore,
Waratah
and Harker. So each ground will have 1 a week. Check the NDCA website and Facebook for fixtures. We will go into breaking down the games. Probably not going to worry too much. I might have a quick run through and just quick tips. Not too much insight. We've had a bit of a run through as well, and we had a bit of a season prediction, which we'll do before we get into the games. But yeah, mate, we might start with you. Start with your Pool A. Can you give me the 2 teams that are going to finish bottom of Pool A?
Bottom of A, I am going Sabres and Kookaburras.
So you've gone City and Toronto, as they're more formally known.
Yep.
Funnily enough, so have I. I've got Newcastle City finishing sixth and Toronto Kookaburras finishing fifth. You're the same?
Yeah, I go Sabres sixth.
I think the Cookers might be a little bit of a disappointment this year, but you can never write them off because, we don't know who the imports are. They do have that connection to Manly, so we may see some imports there, and that could very much change it. And who have you got missing out in Pool B?
Well, I've got one team, which is the Seagulls.
You've only got your one team finishing fifth and sixth?
I've got one team finishing.
So you've got the Seagulls finishing sixth?
There's three teams.
Who have you got finishing fifth?
I'm going to stick with Waratah and then Whips.
I've got Belmont finishing fifth. So we'll move on to our top four. We'll stay with Pool B. We'll go third and fourth. Who have you got there?
Third and fourth. So I have Rosellas in third and Whips in fourth.
Right. I have the Waratahs in third and the Lions in fourth.
There you go.
So a little bit of difference there. And in Pool A, mate, who do you like there?
Fourth is the Tigers, Mr. Price's Tigers, and third is my beloved Magpies.
I've got the same two teams, just in the opposite order. So I've got the Tigers third, the Magpies fourth, which would mean that you and I both got the Pumas and Sea Dragons one and two. Who finishes atop the pool?
Sea Dragons for me.
I went the Pumas, so there we go. And in the other pool, that would mean you have the Black Roses and the Lions finishing in the top two. I have the Rosellas and the Black Roses. I've got the Rosellas first, Black Roses second. Who do you have first? Who do you have second?
I am going to go with the old stalwarts, the Lions first and the Cardiff Boys second.
So by my calculation, that means you've got the Lions playing the Pumas in semi-final one and the Black Roses playing the Sea Dragons in semi-final two.
Yep.
And who are your finalists?
I am going to go with the Pumas
versing
the Black Roses in the final.
I've got the Rosellas playing the Sea Dragons in one semi and the Pumas playing the Black Roses in the other. And I have a rematch of our one-day final. I have the Pumas playing the Sea Dragons. Who are your T20 premiers?
For me, mate, I am going to stick with the two veterans, the Webbers, to bring him home.
I've got the Pumas as well, mate.
This wasn't even concocted.
You went to discuss it before the show, and I said, no, we'll just wait. We had a couple of surprises, but they lined up quite well. I really think the Pumas will be strong, but the fact that both of us have tipped them is pretty much guaranteed they won't win.
Won't in Matt Semi.
May not even turn up for their games. So that's the Summer Bash. We will have a quick look at the first week of fixtures. Starting Tuesday the
15th.
It's only 5 days away. It's exciting this time of year. The Big Bash is on, the NCC Summer Bash. It's all happening. All right, so kicking us off at number one sports ground is two sides battled last round in the two-day comp, the Kookaburras and the Tigers, mate. I've got the Tigers winning this one in a nail biter.
Yeah, I think Tigers will win by about 30, mate.
Yeah, lovely. They're going to win by 30 even if they bat second.
No, I think they'll bat first and Cookers won't have enough, mate.
That's very, very, very specific.
Pricey, better win
this. And West will be at Harker Oval hosting the Black Roses, Cardiff. I'm assuming you're going to Black Roses and you've got them finishing top, and I'll probably go West and I've got them finishing top.
Yeah, I'm going Black Roses, so they get an early start.
I'm going to go West to win in the Super Over.
Oh, no. Black Roses will win by 3 wickets.
So they're batting second?
Yeah.
Go Bryce. Mate, you don't have to worry about margins, mate. Just give me a tip. Your boys, the Magpies, up against the Sea Dragons. Will this see the return of Scott Logan to, well, it's not to Kyber Oval, but it's to Passmore Oval, to take on his former chums?
It'll be interesting because he wasn't sure yesterday afternoon that it was even on, so.
Yeah, he's all over the place. I'm just really, really surprised that a bloke with an IQ in single digits is allowed near a university.
Yeah,
well, you both played for university, actually.
Yeah, we did. My IQ is a bit higher than
you. You got to be careful if you bring up university degrees around Sam. He gets a bit fired up, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he'll leave you down on the Central Coast.
Yeah, Yes, but no, this one's out at Passmore. Is Bar TV covering both?
I don't believe so, no.
Interesting to see how Glenn Windsor fits back in the fold, mate, for the Magpies.
He will, mate. I'm expecting big things too from Sash. I think he is well suited to the T20 with his dead arm spinners, and obviously can score at a decent click as well. So he's pretty versatile too from looking at his scores during the season so far. He can hold up one end if needed if someone else like Jed's going to town. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see Glenn Windsor after his experience down in Sydney, how he steps up for them, mate. But I'm assuming you've got the Sea Dragons winning this one, or are you going to the Magpies?
Nah, I'm going to go the Sea Dragons. I think Hudson's going to crack it.
Yeah, lovely, mate. Sea Dragons will win that one for me as well. Next up, we have the Waratahs taking on the Lions. The Waratahs are going to be my giant killers in the T20, and they're going to take down the Lions on Wednesday night at number one sports ground, led by a quick fire 70 to Jonty Durholm.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to get Maury's going to get him home, and he'll get a 50, and they'll win.
Recent Australian country cricket life member.
Yeah, Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame, yeah. Sorry, Hall of Fame's correct.
Legend.
Well done, Maury. Next up, the Sabres will host the Pumas. This one will be a landslide for mine. I've got the Pumas finishing first in the pool, the Sabres finishing last. The Weber boy's the star with either the battle ball, whatever happens first.
Yeah, Matt to get 4 wickets and Sam to get 80 not out.
Well, I would be surprised if Sam got 80 not out, because I don't think they'll be chasing it. They'd have to be chasing 120 probably for him to get that.
They're batting first. Already predicted.
All right, okay, yeah, right. Next up, mate, these two were my cellar dwellers in Pool B, the Seagulls and the Whips. I think the Whips will get this one done. Hopefully they will have the availability of their superstar import.
Superstar import.
Same man that played round one for him, mate. Come on, switch on.
Oh, the big man.
The big man.
Simon Keane.
Simon Keane, the all-rounder, correct. Probably the most impressive single performance of one match of cricket so far. He's sitting in the top 10 until about 2 weeks ago still.
I'm sitting in the top one after the first round, but yeah, I'm going to go Whips to whip it into gear, mate.
Lovely, mate. So that'll be round one. Round two will follow on the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the week after, and round three, and then I'll have triple headers on the Sunday, the 10th of February. So that'll be bumper at, I think, Ron Hill, Cahiba, Waratah and Harker. So plenty of cricket around for plenty of boys to get to, mate, and we'll be at plenty of it as well. Giving the dulcet tones a run when required. Really looking forward, though. I understand Bar TV is going to have in the commentary booth, so we're obviously doing sideline stuff, but going to have like someone from each side, so it'll be some actual inside knowledge as opposed to sort of, I think in previous years, it's just been a bit of a laugh, some of the commentary, and a bit of a joke around, whereas this year it'll actually be able to be some cricket insight and knowledge. Guys are experienced, like Todd Disney jumping in, so that will be quite a treat for the listeners, mate, and viewers.
Yeah, it will, mate, definitely.
What else have we got to look at, mate? We might have a look at the club championship standings as well. Have you got those in front of you? Because yes. I'm just trying to find them. You might want to roll through the top four or five.
Yeah, we've got Walls End sitting in... Oh, no, sorry. We'll go University sitting in fourth spot on 475. Toronto on 489 in third. The defending premiers, the Magpies, are on 503. And Merriweather, after their impressive victory last round, have notched 1 point in front on 504.
Mate, it is neck and neck. And then, yeah, as you sort of went to touch on there, you got a few other sides sitting back in the 300. So, yeah, certainly it looks like probably a four-horse race there for that. One first grade outright win could quite easily move Uni atop there. Again, I know Uni only a couple of weeks ago were sitting atop there, but Merriweather ably supported by the fact they are sitting on top in second grade. So that is the club championship. We will move along to the two-day fixtures, which is this Saturday's cricket right on our doorstep. The cricket season resumes and there are some bumper clashes this week.
Mate, there are. It'll be interesting to see how the students travel away from campus.
We might have a look at that first, mate. That's the first one I've got coming off the ranks. We've got Waratah hosting University. Waratah fresh off the break, obviously, and buoyed by that win leading into the break.
Yeah, they will be, mate. Expect big things from Jonty, but, yeah, for me, I think Uni are going to carry on there form and try and get a stranglehold on that minor premiership.
I think Uni might be sniffing this as an outright. I don't know they'll be able to do it. A lot of factors would have to go in their favour. I think Waratah might run them to the wire, but lack of depth in both batting and bowling might hurt them a little bit, whereas University obviously are pretty stocked to the seams. And we have heard the whisper that obviously Mr. Gawthrop, now that he's My Kitchen Rules commitments have finalised, will be returning either this week or next, I understand. So
will the senior bird be around too after his impressive season debut?
That will be, I mean, not that they need him, but if he, if he is, then, the second best touch footballer in his family.
Yeah, that's right.
But, yeah, I'll be going Uni to get the win here on first innings. Next up, we have a game that could be very crucial at number one sports ground. Newcastle City hosting Stockton. Stockton have shown some potential. They rolled Cardiff, but then they were pretty poor against Waratah in the last round. Newcastle City, look, I'm going to be honest. I think they're, you know, the loser of this game probably shortens into less than even money for the wooden spoon.
Yeah, they do, mate. And with that, I think Stockton are going to get another encouraging boosting win here, mate. In first innings only.
Yeah, certainly. I think, especially if Nick Foster can turn up. Ben West's obviously been really strong for them this year. If they can grab the services of Terry Crittenden as well, would be huge. Newcastle City, I have heard some whispers that Jesse Major may be making a comeback out there alongside his brother, who's the skipper, which would be an added boost for him. I know Jesse's had some other stuff going on that stopped him from playing cricket, so it'd be good to see him back on the cricket field if we can. I'm going to go Stockton in a probably a close one that will drudge well into day two. Next up, mate, we have this one. I mean, pretty much the majority of these games, barring the Charleston game, have a real bearing for both sides. But this one, Toronto, they'll be looking to bounce back, and Merriweather will be flying after their outright win last round. Can the Lions continue their run, or will Chatty's boys bounce back?
I've just got a sneaky feeling the Toronto boys, Chatty's going to lift. I think they're going to continue on their impressive two-day form. I think they're going to get a very close second-day win here over Merriweather, mate.
I'm quite surprised they haven't looked to escalate, you know, some of their batters sort of in their middle order that have gone quite well up the order a little bit and maybe have a look at a bit of a reshuffle Toronto. But anyway, we're not cricket coaches, we're just pundits. So I'm going to go Toronto to win as well, mate. I have them in this one, not by much. I think this one will probably be the match of the round for mine. Certainly be a belter, so if you can get out there to Ron Hill Oval this Saturday or next, it will be well worth, I was going to say the price of admission, but it'll probably be worth more than the price of admission.
I just hope that win over West a couple of months ago doesn't come back to bite the
That's it, going to the pub early, so anyway, we've touched on that enough. Speaking of West, they travel out to picturesque George Farley Oval to take on Wall's End. Mate, I think the Rosellas will probably be a little bit too strong for my Tigers here,
mate. I am going to expect the Alpha Price to stand up this week, and I'm backing Wall's End to make a late play for the semis, and I think they're going to get this done in a bit of a surprise.
I liked the look of Wall's End in this game until I found out that stalwart G Geese has made himself unavailable. So a big loss there, as we know, with the ball. He's been starring for them recently. Puts a lot of pressure back on a couple of other young guys, and also Jacob Montgomery and Nathan Price. So he'll be a significant loss for them. They've got a couple of other players that are in doubt. So, yeah, look, I think that Nathan will go down swinging here, and it may be interesting just outside of the game, obviously, to see the individual battle.
Yeah, well,
between Nathan and his dad, Joe.
Might be a bit of sledging going on in the warm-ups, mate.
Yeah, well, I was a little bit disappointed when I saw that that work had seconded me to the cricket, because I did want to get down and watch both days of this and maybe even, you know, fuel some of the fire. But we might try and get down there next Saturday and maybe grab a little piece with both of them at the same time. Might do an Alpha Price quiz. although in the form they've both been in at the moment, I did have a conversation with Nathan the other day. There is a... lady by the name of Alex Price playing for Adelaide Strikers in the Women's Big Bash, and she's currently the Alpha Price, apparently. Makes sense.
Agreed.
Yeah, beautiful. We all concur on that. Your boys, mate, they head down to Carl Oval, however you'd like to pronounce that, to take on a listless Belmont, mate, who really are floundering with only Marcus Hainsworth keeping them afloat, I think.
Yeah, the old grudge match, mate. The old Lake Macquarie Derby here, but as we touched on in the winter sports that I love to do, talk about derbies. But yeah, I think the Magpies are going to get it done, and I think they're going to push for an outright, mate.
It's funny, like normally we have a bit of a chat about these things before we go in, and we haven't today. I've got Charlestown with an outright in this game. They're going to need it to really push their case. The next couple of weeks are key for them. They play Belmont and then City before heading into a tough run where they take on, I think, Wallsend, Merriweather, and then finish with Stockton. So, well, if they can grab a couple of outrights against a couple of lower sides here, those Wallsend and Merriweather games take, you know, start to fade into, you know, their real crucialness. Obviously, they'll still want to win them,
yep.
But then the pressure's not on them if they can pick up two outrights out of those three against those bottom sides. So, I think Jed and the boys will be fired up and... yeah, I'm looking for big things from Jed. He hasn't probably fired as much as we might have expected this year. And, yeah, I would certainly expect in the next 3 or 4 weeks to see something big in terms of scores from their rep star there. And I think that pretty much brings us to the last game of the round, mate, at Passmore Oval. I think Hamwicks of their last 5 games, they might play 4 of them there, so they're the reverse university. They play Cardiff Bullaroo in what will be an absolute cracker. I mean, we've got both these sides going through to the semi-finals of the NCC Summer Bash. They're both coming into some good form. Take out that blip of Cardiff's against Stockton and two sides stacked with talent.
Yeah, they are, and I think Hamwicks will be looking to bounce back from their surprise loss to Charlestown before the break, mate. Back at home, curator Benny Balcombe's on the roller, mate.
He's good to see you can read the Herald, mate.
Wonderful things, yeah, reading online now. I've banned the paper version, mate.
Look at you looking after the environment.
But, yeah, I think Hamwicks back at home are going to get this done, mate. Obviously, I think they would have enjoyed their 2-week break, but I think it's going to be a big second half of the year for the Hamwicks lads.
I'm going to need Cardiff to get this one done. Let's not get too carried away. I did think about it. I am looking for them to, mate, they've got a lot of batting in them. I'm looking for them to post a big score this week.
Hang on.
Exceed 300 and just hang on and, yeah, just try and bowl Hamwicks into the dirt. It could be a really interesting finish next Saturday, I think. I think, you know, we could see Hamwicks needing sort of, you know, 100 off the last 13 or 15 overs. And if the Weber brothers are at the crease, there will be fireworks. But they're going to be the keys. They need to see them off and take advantage of the other end. Maybe take advantage of, you know, someone like young Kane Anderson or someone like that if they can. I mean, he's been in decent form. And then just, yeah, try and slow them down when they're in or get them out early. If you can get the Webers cheaply, it goes a long way to winning this game. But both sides, a lot of batting talent, so you could see plenty of runs on offer. Potentially even with the right track rolled out, a close to 400 score on the first day.
Yeah, well, that's what we want to see, mate.
Plenty of runs. They get caught up in the Australian team with plenty of runs. So
yeah.
Just ask Will Pukowski.
Yeah.
So we've been through all of that, mate. We will wrap up. We have three last things to tick off, sorry. Of course, we have the awards coming back now with the cricket back. We'll have the Matt Mowing and Maintenance Player of the Week in week one of the 2 days across all grades. And we're actually going to change it up a little bit now with second and the lower third and fourth grade going to 1 days, in that it will be across the preceding 2 weeks of lower grades, any performance, if that makes sense to you. So that way, if you have a performance in the off week, you're not crueled. And then, yeah, we'll have the first graders will still be eligible for their week.
The round.
Yeah, and then they'll have their player of the round. We unfortunately don't have a player of the week or round for the NCC Summer Bash. So if there's anyone out there that would be interested in getting involved with a sponsorship, whether that's just giving up a prize, doesn't have to be a cash sponsorship, then we could certainly have a look at
Bill,
something there. Exactly, mate. A free survey from Positive Survey Solutions.
Well, yeah, Brett White, get on board.
Exactly, mate. But yeah, look, could be something really small. But yeah, let us know if there's anyone out there. I have touched base with a couple of businesses and we'll see what we can do. In the meantime, and the final thing, mate, the Waratah World Sevens are on this weekend. I think it's a bit aggressive calling it the World Sevens, but we'll let them have it, mate. And it's looking like it could be an absolute bumper weekend with or Bumper Sunday out at Waratah with a few first graders plying their trade.
Yeah, there's a scattering of players amongst teams, former first graders, current first graders.
Yeah, mate, our tip is for the weekend is the, remind me of their team name, it is the led by Bill Pappas.
The Golden Greeks. The
Golden Greeks. Is that just because they've been all went out and got spray tans this week?
Well, they all used to be mainly Greeks, but yeah, they've got shirts made up.
And, oh, they're very open to mixed ethnicities now.
Bill's brother, Jim, runs that team, I believe, now.
Yeah, so but Bill will be playing. I believe there. Nathan Hudson's playing for them. Nathan friend of the Martin, show.
Sam Logan, yeah.
Scott Logan.
Scott Logan,
Nathan. Obviously, yeah. They do have a rule around it that it is three first graders per team. A few of the teams have skirted around this by having a few first graders and then fringe first graders are in second grade. So, yeah, a few mentions. The Yowies, who are the defending winners. The Yowies, who feed, they've got Dan Bailey in the side. The defending winners are the Buds, who've got Scott McKenzie and Asher Robbins. And always on the pool, which is quite appropriate with our last thing to touch on, featuring Pierce Robinson.
Yeah, well.
That'll be the crowd favourites. The girls will be around. And the boys at Waratah's home, the dark horse, is the Curried Vegemites, who feature a number of the big hitting third graders and their mates from a last man standing competition on the Central Coast. So. They're the sides to watch. Always on the pool, the Buds, the Yowies, Curried Vegemites and the Golden Greeks. But cricket there from about 9 to 7. I think it's a big, yeah, long day at Waratah Oval. It'll
be 8.
Get down. It'll be an absolute belter. You can pop in for a bit. It's excitement galore, short matches, lots of big hits, not much else going on. There won't be many quick singles, so get amongst it. The only quick single there might be Pierce Robinson. I don't know how quick he is.
Yeah, well, wait and see, eh?
Speaking of quick singles, mate. It's getting close. I know you're excited. We've got nominations from one club for our NDCA Bachelor of the Year. So I'm going to outline it now for everyone. NDCA Bachelor of the Year, we will try and get in touch with all the clubs, but we want two nominees from each club. So if anyone can contact us either via the page or via SportsCastleAU at Gmail. I'm reeling off the sponsors' names now. SportsCastleAU at gmail.com. From the clubs with their two nominations. If we get multiple nominations sent through from clubs, we will go back to the club to confirm with the powers that be if they wish to make a confirmation on who the two official nominees are. We'll then have some questions and we'll fire those back out and we can get the creative answers from the young men. And then we're looking at organising a final, which will be a video show.
Over a pool.
No, shirtless. Mate, it's not shirtless or pantsless or anything else. You can just calm down. Can't have Xavier fucking killing over with excitement. But we will have three judges, and I'm going to see if the King of Grinder is available to be a judge.
He would
have. Yeah, I would have thought so. So there'll be a few judging categories, and we'll go into that when we get to the finalists. But yeah, essentially, we'll have two nominees from all the 12 clubs if they all want to participate, which will give us 24. That'll be cut down to a top six. Who will go through to the final and over probably three rounds, they'll be culled down to a final two and a winner from that. Might have a fight to the death or something, who knows. So something that someone's insurance hopefully will cover.
Boat race.
Yeah, well, that is something that ladies look for in a man. Who can scull a beer the quickest? So, that's obviously why Erica, no, that doesn't make sense, actually. You can't even scull a beer. So
yep.
You still owe us two skulls on the show, mate. Pay your bets.
Yeah, new year, new me.
Yeah, well, you can do that when we go and celebrate my birthday, mate.
Yep.
But, yeah, obviously, as we said, plenty of sports action. Saturday, you got all the NDCA cricket. The three Jets games at different venues in Newcastle, Sydney and Melbourne. We've also got Sunday cricket at Waratah, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday cricket, and then back into the podcast again. Mate, rest up on Monday and just have a full-on dose of sport.
Yeah, there's plenty happening, mate. It's making me tired just thinking about it, but excited at the same time.
Exactly right, mate. So make sure to get around all of the people that support and sponsor our show. Primax Sports Cards and Collectibles, Matt's Mowing and Maintenance, the sponsors of our NDCA Player Awards. We've got our supporters in Aerolax Australia, who sponsor our sports shorts segment. And, you know, plenty of other businesses that have supported us along the way. So we appreciate that. If anyone is looking at getting involved, we still have a number of sponsorship slots available. Have the naming rights of the show, which is huge. Brett White, we're looking at you, mate. Let us know. Millions. Just give us Jared's salary. He doesn't need it. Kids don't need to eat. And we've also got the Sports Castle Soapbox, and we can get involved with the NCC Summer Bash Player of the Year. Player of the week as well. So
Bachelor.
Plenty of things there, yeah. Naming rights, the NDCA Bachelor of the Year. You know, and if you sponsor that, I'm sure we can get your spot on the judging panel. So, you know,
Longy, get out there.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure Roads and Maritime Service would love to sponsor it. But thanks again, mate, for your time. Thanks again for, you know, we never know when it's gonna be the last week at the Jarrod Mullen Studios. It's on the market. Piece of Sports Castle history for sale. Get down to Dalton's and put in an offer. Millions.
Yeah, that's what we want.
And we might be retiring the Regan Tennis Studio soon too. Mate, approaching 50 episodes. There's lots happening. And next week we may be joined by a celebrity co-host. Well, celebrity is a loose word. You know, he's a former magpie, a former whip, a former butcher boy, amongst other things. So I'll let everyone else figure out who that might be. And we'll catch everyone next week. Thanks for tuning in. And thanks for the use of the Jarrod Mullen Studios.
Yeah, have a good weekend.